We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 215 weeks into 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson. Alongside the long lost, he is back in the Northern Hemisphere, Marty Foster. Marty, how are you?
I'm glad to be back in the Northern Hemisphere, quite frankly. That was a long trip, 33 hours travel coming back, 12,500 miles. And then the taxi broke down on the motorway 35 miles from home.
Yeah.
So,
I do remember you saying that.
25, thankfully, only 25 minutes to wait for the replacement to turn up to pick us up. And then we got home and I'm just about recovered from the jet lag. Didn't feel it on the way out. Definitely felt it on the way back.
As I said, you would. I said, don't worry about it. You'll feel it on the way back.
Yeah, and you were right.
Yeah, and you have. I always feel it when I'm, it doesn't matter which way I'm, if I'm going over to the US, I don't feel it. When I'm coming back, it's, you know, and then of course, vice versa when I was jumping back and forth the other way too. So
yeah.
it's always the other way around. Anyway, where would you like to start with your trip? This is going to be one of those shorts, so it's not going to be one of our long drawn out ones. I don't really want to get into too many politics today, I don't think. I think you want to talk more about your trip. But one thing that transpired that we actually haven't talked about yet was you missed that mall stabbing at the Bondi Mall, didn't you? Just by, a couple hours or something?
Yeah, we were in the air when just as we landed, our loved ones in the UK were going, are you okay? Are you anywhere near Bondi Junction? And no, we weren't. We were in Sydney Airport. So, as I said to a couple of people yesterday, had we have been in Bondi Junction shopping mall, I'm pretty sure if I'd have been anywhere near the assailant, there would have been fewer dead people. I might have been one of them, but I would have got that bastard. He was taken down. And yeah, it's just horrible. People out doing their day-to-day business, shopping, enjoying themselves. Some of them probably weren't even enjoying themselves. Not everyone loves shopping. And a nut job just goes ballistic and starts stabbing people. And, you know, Australia have similar gun laws to the US, I believe, although they were.
No, they're actually far worse in Australia than they are in the US. Yes.
Yeah.
You can't own really anything in Australia. In the US,
in the rural areas, of course, people have got ARs and stuff because they're taking down feral pigs.
Yeah, it's different. But
like
you have
that.
To go through permits and all that stuff. And you know, the US, you don't have to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, going back a long time ago, back to the 80s, I think it was the 80s, we had a guy called Michael Ryan in a town called Hungerford. And he went on a shooting spree. And if just one more person had had a gun, less people would have died. And if in that situation inside the mall, if just a few more people had a clue about how to protect themselves from a knife attack and a bit of self-defense and a bit of confidence, then there would have been less dead. And I just find it really frustrating that more of us are not able to deal with those sorts of situations. Men or women, you know, the There's a simple set of things that someone can learn to do that can protect themselves and their loved ones from maniacs with blades. Talking of which, a mutual friend of ours from the great city of Cardiff has just started back at karate again. Tiger. And he had his first grading and went up all the way to blue belt because he's going back to it. So they put him through several drills and he performed really well. So well done, Tiger.
Well, that's good. Did you say he's retired now? Has he retired?
Yeah. He's no longer in blue. I'm not sure what he's doing because he's
well, that's probably why he's gone back to karate then, is because he's
yeah.
bored.
Bored, or maybe that might fit in with whatever new job
that is true
he's
yeah.
doing.
Yeah. You did mention this incident here that I'm putting on screen, and I thought you'd like to weigh in on this. This was also Australia. This took place in Sydney as well. This was at a church. The stabbing of the – or attempted stabbing, rather, of the priest.
Yeah, he's actually a bishop.
Is he a bishop? Okay, all right. My mistake.
It's the Assyrian Orthodox Church. So it's, I don't know, is it Coptic Christians?
Coptic Christians, so yeah. And he's also, by the way, the blade never opened, by the way, I'd like to point out.
Well, the guy was that attacked him was 16 years old, and apparently he lost fingers. And to my mind, that looked like a kitchen knife. And so a knife without any kind of guard on it, as you're trying to stab furiously down on someone and your hand slips forward, fingers are going to come off. So I don't know. There's been so little reported about it. It was reported in Australia, but all you saw was that clip and how the boy was 16 years old. But the bishop himself is an interesting character. I believe he was ordained in 2009 and made it to bishop in 2011. So that's a fairly meteoric climb in terms of sort of clergy promotion. It must be quite a small church. That's all I can say.
Could be, yes. I don't know. It's Coptics are not exactly the largest denomination when you go to places. So
no. And again, he's been quite vociferous on YouTube. And I've seen the videos pop up every now and again on the feed. So I've had a look because he's got that interesting headdress going on, the whole black hood thing. And he was talking quite a lot of sense. But in Australia, they went out of their way to label him as homophobic, transphobic. And really all he's doing is talking sense from his religious point of view. And the person who attacked him, I'm pretty sure it's a case of having the right buttons pushed by social media, by bias reporting. And, you know, it's an easy target. It's a real soft target, isn't it? These lone wolf knifemen go for soft targets. They're not scaling walls into government offices or attacking military installations. They're attacking people who are pretty much defenseless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of using social media and pushing buttons and people causing trouble, are you still on Twitter or X or whatever it's called? Yeah.
I get two or three notifications a day. I've got hardly any followers, which I'm not bothered about in the slightest. But what do you want to talk about?
Well, I thought, because we've been talking about recently while you've been gone, we've been kind of discussing off and on the new online censorships and hate speech. Like Scotland, for example, just passed something to where you can literally put anybody in jail for anything. Canada's working on something with their, I believe it's C-16 or C-61 or something like that. New Zealand was working on something. The Irish are working on something. You guys are working on something. And it's going to be blanket basically across the board. They're just kind of beta testing it wherever they can at the moment. But this was an Australian senator named Jackie Lambie. And she says that, you know, we just need to, the easiest thing to do would just be to put Elon Musk in prison for what he's able to do with his social media platform. Listen to this.
Elon Musk has no social conscience or conscience whatsoever. I don't know, whatever Elon Musk is on, it says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we going to be, but quite frankly, the power that that man has because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop.
Judging by the accent, I think she's from the Northern Territories.
Northern.
Yeah, which is fairly sparsely populated. And I, you know, the thing that happens in sparsely populated rural areas is you get quite a lot of big C conservatives, nationalists, those kind of things. What she's going to achieve is she's dog whistling to her constituents, and that they're all going to agree with her because they don't know any better. But they won't have thought it through, and I don't think many people are thinking it through, is that regardless of who you are, if you've got a big platform and you can get your word out, you will be heard by more people. And I am 100% behind free speech. I think it was not De Niro. Who was in the Meet the Fockers?
Oh, it's Ben Stiller.
That is De Niro, isn't it?
De Niro, yeah, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
He's not very big on free speech, he's not.
No, he's also been in a clip saying, I've got a big platform because of who I am, and if I've got something to say, I'm going to say it. And he's given absolutely the opposite message. He's given the Hollywood narrative, liberal, left-wing, communist viewpoint. And are they going to shut him down? No, they're not, are they? They're scared. You get the most flack when you're above the target. And Musk is getting a lot of flack at the moment for promoting free speech. So I think she should go back to her farm, worry about her cattle, and get the hell out of politics, because she's not a Democrat. She's not someone who believes in democracy. If she can call for someone to be jailed for speaking freely.
Well, I think that free speech is essential if we're going to have any kind of resemblance of any kind of democratic society. It's got to happen. But they're going after these regulations like she's talking about. If they can go after, the point I'm trying to make is if they can go after these bigger platforms such as Twitter or whatever, you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be that one. It could be Facebook or any of the rest of them. Then that means that that's the bellwether for people like us, and we will be shut down.
Well, during my trip, particularly the time I was in Sydney, because of who I was, we were staying with, the kind of people we met were largely academics, teachers, retired teachers, those kind of people. And Sydney is a very Labour-centred, in their terms, as in left of centre politics. And I found I had to censor myself so that I wouldn't upset people. Until pressed. There was one conversation, and we were talking about the reemergence of shingles. And this lady teacher said, she's still working as a teacher. So I don't know why it's happening. I said, I could tell you, but you won't want to hear it. And I said, you can just go and read the paper that's just been released by the Association of General Practitioners, Australian Association of General Practitioners, who spoke about there is no such thing as long COVID. There's long vaccination. The reductions in everyone's immune system due to social distancing and due to mask wearing and all those kind of things. And you could see the look of going from I'm ready to argue with you, go to sort of that passive, oh, I've just been educated kind of look on her face. And who's that one in Victoria, the one who locked everyone down?
Oh, that would be, I actually asked you about that. I asked if you made it to Victoria to pay Dan Andrews a visit.
Dan Andrews.
Yeah.
She'd actually said a few minutes earlier, oh, well, he saved a lot of people. I said,
but Did he really?
And then when I explained all this stuff to her about, you know, how the immune system works, not that I'm an immunologist, I just know because I paid attention in biology and I haven't been brainwashed by the narrative that's been pushed and all the measures that we've had to suffer. So I slagged off Dan Andrews. She didn't like that too much. When I explained further, she suddenly started to realise she was losing the argument, and I was getting kicked under the table by my good lady to shut the up. because she didn't want me making a social situation awkward. So I had to censor myself on a number of occasions. And I should have got on and spoken about this guy in the Sunshine Coast in Markula, who his name's Barry, and he's the barber in Markula. And I had my hair cut there.
Best people to meet, barbers.
Well, they talk to everybody, don't they?
Exactly. That's my point.
And it's a small business. And so I'm sat there and we're chatting away. And I don't know how the conversation got round to it, but I did say, well, I was going to ask you, Barry, what was it like during lockdown here? And he says, oh, it was terrible. You know, so many businesses went out. And I said, you know, it was all unnecessary. And I put him onto the podcast and I believe he's been listening. And I did say that I would give him a mention, which should have been Thursday just gone. And I didn't, Barry. So I apologize. Thanks for the conversation. Thanks for the haircut. And I hope you're still doing well.
To be fair, though, that was an additional 10 hours that was added to your trip in Melbourne, and you had the car breakdown 35 miles from your house. So
yeah,
I did ring you that day, and you were so out of it. I said, absolutely not. We're not doing it. So you can blame that on me.
I couldn't string a sentence together, quite frankly. One of the other things that happened on the trip in the very middle of Australia, of course, you have Uluru, formerly known as Ayers Rock. You know, it's a sacred site to the Aboriginal people. But you've also got three very large hotels at a place called Eulara. During the lockdowns, obviously, no one was visiting the hotel as tourists, but that is where they flew all the people who needed, or a lot of the people who needed to be quarantined, and put them up in these big hotels. And the bus driver who was taking us on a tour around Uluru, we drove around part of it and then walked around a large part of it and picked the bus up later on. But yeah, he was explaining, oh, we lost so many people. Yeah, you did. And the reason you lost so many people is because they weren't given the correct medical treatment. They were given the wrong medical treatment, and they were flying in some of the worst cases into the middle of Australia to keep them away from other people. And so it was hardly surprising that there was a number of deaths as a result of that. And of course, I did ask him again, what about flu? We in the UK, we lose 120,000 people a year to influenza. He just said, oh, no, we didn't have any flu. There was no flu that year. And that's the same answer I had when I was in hospital, when I asked the nurse, no, we haven't had any flu. When I asked the teacher in Sydney, oh, no, we didn't have any flu. There was no flu. It's because we were all kept away from each other. It couldn't spread. Bollocks. It was the flu that was bumping people off, but they may well have also had COVID at the same time. So, yeah, it was a great holiday. I tried not to think too much about politics while I was there, but it's kind of in your face all the time, isn't it? So you have to address it.
How was your trip to the Sydney Opera House?
The play was very funny in parts, and as an actor myself, there were bits of it where I thought, now why the bloody hell did they do that? But it was very clever. It was called No Way, No Pay. And it was based on civil unrest in Italy. And it might have been about the 70s when prices in supermarkets shot through the roof and hordes of housewives just decided to loot the supermarkets rather than actually pay for the shopping, which was now four times the price it was the day before. So it was based on that. It was a comedy. It was a farce. But yeah, again, it's that left-leaning concept came through in the play, but I just had to overlook that so I could enjoy being in the theatre. But yeah, it was really good. You know, the Australians call the Sydney Opera House Nuns in a Scrum because it looks like the headdress of nuns all clumped together. But it is a rather spectacular building, and the whole Circle Quay area was alive and buzzing, lots of open air buskers as well as full bands playing all kinds of contemporary music. And the food was fantastic and not too expensive, not as expensive as I thought it was going to be.
One of the things that took place while you were on your way back, actually, I had sent you, we were kind of texting back and forth, and I'd sent you a message saying that you might be rerouted because of what was happening in the United Arab Emirates. And I'm sure that you saw of everything that was going on out there in Dubai. They had stay-at-home orders issued for all seven Emirates. And this is, well, that's horrendous, I have to say, that the flooding that took place.
That's not usual. I've seen flooding like that in across the whole of the UAE because they haven't got the infrastructure to deal with rain. You know, underpasses on highways suddenly become underwater tunnels, and people have come a cropper by driving in and then being completely underwater. But I landed probably the day after that was taken. I landed in Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi, and the phrase I used, sorry to say this again, and no offense to nuns, but the phrase I used to my mate to describe it was, because he asked the same question, you know, how bad is it in Abu Dhabi? I said, it's as dry as a nun's gusset. And it was. There was,
you see him
there
getting the Rolls Royces and the Bugattis out of the, thing on rescue and boats.
The big inflatables, rather than build a worthwhile drainage system, they're just going to supply every vehicle with a rigid inflatable boat to put underneath it.
Yeah.
But I landed in Abu Dhabi. It was dry. No problem at all. Abu Dhabi is 90 miles away as the crow flies from Dubai, and it was bone dry. So what you've got there is a localized weather system. And the reason you've got a localized weather system is because of cloud seeding. And that's what's happened. They're trying to get the spring rains in. You know, the original ruler of the Emirates, Sheikh Zayed, God rest him, he was a friend of the Queen. And the Queen put him onto this guy from the Royal Horticultural Society to help them grow more greenery in the desert. And he and his wife went out there and, you know, with his plant knowledge and his expertise, planted lots of gardens which have got the type of plants that can survive the long, hot, dry conditions. And that's what they're trying out to do out there. Dubai just built almost an extra city onto itself for Expo 2020, which didn't really happen.
Never happened, yeah, because of COVID.
So you've got all of this land that if they did irrigate it, it would put too much pressure on their fresh water supply system. They use sweet water as well, which is stuff straight out of the aquifer from under the desert, but it's got too many minerals in, so it can't be used as drinking water.
They desalinate then. They have to.
They have desalination plants, but that's for drinking water.
Yeah.
But for irrigation, they tend to use stuff. You see it as go past in liquid container trucks, and it'll say sweet water. And that's water that's, as I say, got too many minerals in to be used for drinking water or processed. So what they're trying to do is get more irrigation for all the gardens and trees and stuff that they've planted out there and cool the place down. And this is what's happened. It's run away with itself, and they've caused their own disaster.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to GP, the long-lost prodigal son, last night. He and I spent about an hour on the phone. He will be on tomorrow. That is the plan right now anyway. It is tentative. But he's gotten involved, and I'm going to let him explain all this, but he's gotten himself involved in charter fishing now. And some of the other people that he works with, some of the other boat captains and stuff, they're the ones that do like the they'll get into like the deep sea stuff. So they'll go 150, 200 miles, you know, nautical miles offshore and do that into the really deep stuff. He only stays right around the coastal areas. But some of these other guys will go way out, you know, the commercial fishing jobs. And he's saying that they're doing a lot of this cloud seeding and stuff. We were talking about his house and the last hurricane that came through, and he's in the process of rebuilding now. He's kept the beachfront property there, or the waterfront property on the Gulf side. And he said that it's not unlikely that they will have to deal with more of those storms in the coming years, because they're doing cloud seeding in Florida about 150 to 200 miles offshore now. And it's a regular thing, and it was never a thing before. And I don't understand why that's being done. I don't get it. You don't need to do that in Florida.
No, I've been to Florida a couple of times. Admittedly, it was a long time ago, but I do remember it being quite a green and lush place.
It's always been that way. I used to go every year, and it's always been.
And of course, it gets the weather system coming across the Caribbean, and you know, quite high winds, storms, and so on. Why does it need its weather system messing with? I mentioned a while ago about the big wind farm off the south coast of England, and us having for the first time tornadoes in the south coast of England, more likely caused by this low pressure that's on the other side of the wind farm, circling round with the high pressure as the prevailing winds get pushed forward. I actually sat and watched a cyclone develop from the balcony or the veranda of the house I was staying in Sydney, and I could see clouds coming from the left and clouds coming from the right, and I start to see them swirl and coalesce into quite substantial clouds, and a few moments later it rains. If you make clouds, it also creates differences in temperature. Those differences in temperature create movement in the air, and they're messing with stuff that they really shouldn't do.
Well, I for one think that all that stuff needs to stop. This ridiculous green energy stuff. I was actually reading something. We can talk about this later in the week when you come back on here in a couple of days. There are programs that are being shut down now in New York. All these offshore wind farm projects, just like you're talking about. New York has finally put a stop to that. They say that it's not economically viable. They're starting to get the hint now that these things just don't work.
Yeah, I mean, you take a place like Yulara, though, next to Uluru in the middle of the Australian desert. They are not going to grow anything on the land, and they have a massive solar plant there that runs the whole place. However, the night before we arrived, we had to fly there. It was a 3-hour flight from Sydney. They had a power cut, and nothing worked in the entire place. No one could buy anything. No one could cook. No one could see what to do.
That's good for a digital ID and a digital cash system, isn't it?
It's a cashless place.
With no energy.
And with no energy, yeah. So only two places in the entire town takes cash, and that's the gas station and the small supermarket.
Did you just say gas station?
I did, but that's only because that's what they call it out there as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and of course they drive on the correct side of the road.
Uh-huh.
But they've got some weird and wonderful ways of filtering traffic across at junctions that made me slightly nervous at times. But yeah, so for them out in the middle of the desert where they've got more or less constant sunshine, a solar plant works. When you try and put big solar farms onto farmland, the runoff is toxic from those things. It destroys the land underneath it. And here in the UK, we do not get enough consistent and strong enough sunlight to make those things viable. So they're a waste of time here.
Yeah, indeed. All right, my friend, is there anything else that you would like to talk about just on the chewing the fat segment that we're doing here? If not, then we'll see you later in the week.
Well, later in the week, I want to talk about what you were talking about with Melissa. I listened to that yesterday, and I've got a few thoughts on some of the things that you both said. So it's, time for another boxing match, perhaps, and okay. We'll see how that goes. Yeah?
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, we will see you in a couple of days. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you for being here this afternoon. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone. Have a great evening.